You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Hello and welcome to the first episode of One Girl Revolution. We are broadcasting live from Podcast Detroit Studios here in Royal Oak, Michigan. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Wednesday, Wednesday for some folks, or Mean Girl Wednesdays. I wore some pink. I know some people are sporting the pink in honor of Mean Girls Wednesday. And for those of you who don't know the reference, a guy in class asked Lindsay Lohan what day it is, and she answers October 3rd. So welcome to the show. I am Kate Bryan, your host, and I'm so excited to be launching One Girl Revolution podcast with Podcast Detroit. You can check us out every Wednesday at 4 p.m. at podcastdetroit.com or download the app and listen to us there. We'll be here every Wednesday at 4 p.m. So tell your friends, your family, everyone you know to join us. Like us on Facebook at One Girl Rev. That's the number one girl, R-E-V. You can also find me on Twitter at Kate M. Bryan, B-R-Y-A-N. So send me your comments, your thoughts, ideas, guests you want to hear from, anything really. We want to hear from you. I'm so excited to welcome you to our first show. It's going to be a little bit different than the show we originally planned for today. But as things often go in radio and the podcast world, things don't always go as planned. So we had a guest that had to postpone their appearance, and I'm excited you're here. And we have a great show planned for you today anyways. Today, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about the new show. Since it's our first show, I think it's good to kind of give you a little bit of background on what you can expect from the show. I'll talk about some of the future guests that we have lined up. And instead of having a guest today, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about me and what the One Girl Revolution means to me and what it's all about. As much as I don't want to be the main focus of this show to me has always been about raising up women and telling their stories. It kind of works out for me to tell my story today so we can kind of get it out of the way. You don't know me, and hopefully I'll get to know more about you as you get to know me. And this is really a good way to start the podcast. So it actually, I think, worked out for the best. And then once we get my story out of the way, I'll share with you some of the incredible guests we have lined up for the rest of October and then in coming months. But yeah, keep me in the loop. Tell me what you want to hear. If there are people women that you come across and you want us to have them on the podcast and highlight their stories, please let me know. Because I have so many cool things planned, but I want to hear from you. I'll tell you a little bit more about my story later on. But I'll start by saying that I recently moved back to Michigan, and I know a lot of people have been scratching their heads wondering what I've been doing with my life. Well, this is it. This is one of the big things that I've been working on, this podcast, One Girl Revolution. I have a couple other tricks up my sleeve that I'm working on too, so stay tuned, and I'll be sure to share those on this show. Like I said, my name is Kate Bryan. My friends, my siblings call me that. My mom even calls me Kate Bryan. I guess it has a certain ring to it. I was born and raised in Michigan and pretty much spent the majority of my life in Corktown, Detroit. My family is Irish American, and we were always heavily involved in the Irish American community in Detroit. Shout out to the Gaelic League in Corktown, one of my favorite spots to hang out. And a fun fact just about me, I was once crowned the Maid of Erin and was the queen of the St. Patrick's Day parade in Detroit. So if you're ever down in Detroit around St. Patrick's Day, you'll see my family, both the Cullens and the Bryans, pretty much everywhere you go. My mom was born and raised in downtown Detroit, so I've always had a special place in my heart for this city. We were always down in Detroit for family gatherings or Irish functions going on. I grew up in Michigan, but then left to go to a small liberal arts university in Ohio. After that, I moved to Dublin, Ireland, and lived and worked there for a couple years. And then most recently, I was living in D.C. for 6 years. I never thought I would be in D.C. that long, but I kept getting great opportunities, so I just kept staying. But then I kind of got tired of the madness, and if you don't know what I mean, just turn on the news. So this summer, I decided to move back to Detroit. I love this city. I love the people here. I love everything that's going on in Detroit. It's so good to be back, and I'm really excited to be a part of the Detroit podcast family, the Podcast Detroit family. I'll tell you more a little bit more about my story and how the One Girl Revolution came to be. But first, I want to tell you a little bit about the show, some things that you can expect, guests we're going to have on, etc. The whole premise of the show, One Girl Revolution, is that every woman has a story. Every woman has a voice. Every woman has the power to change the world through her life. And every woman is a One Girl Revolution. That's truly one of my mantras. That's one of my beliefs. That's one thing that I've just kind of carried throughout my life. And I don't really know where it came from. I'll tell you a little bit about my story, and that might kind of color that in a little bit. But my background is in public relations, and I've spent much of my career dealing with the media, living and breathing the news cycle, and looking for opportunities to pitch a good story. I'm also Irish, so I love a good story, but over the past couple of years, I've been wrestling with a couple of things and have been looking for an opportunity to incite change. As the popular saying goes, be the change that you want to see. When I look at the world, like so many of you, I see good and I see bad. I see light and I see darkness. But more than anything, we're really bombarded with a lot of darkness and not a whole lot of light. With regards to women specifically, I've been frustrated by the politicization of women. Everyone is doing it. Everyone in the political realm is politicizing women. Women are often viewed as political pawns instead of people. We're taught to put people in boxes. We're taught to put ourselves in boxes and define ourselves by our politics. We segregate ourselves from others and ignore other voices if we disagree with them. Secondarily, the victimization of women. Now, this is not to degrade the Me Too movement and others like it, because those are important. These are important movements, and it's important for victims to speak up and for justice to be served. But the issue is the world is teaching women to define themselves by something that happened to them instead of who they are. As I said before, every woman has a story, and every story matters. I'm so happy that women and men are standing up and telling their stories, and we need to create a world where justice is served in each and every one of these situations. But we also need to create a world where women are not taught to define themselves by their victimhood. We're all victims of something that happened to us, our upbringing. But women are being taught to define themselves by something that happened to them instead of who they are. And this is a problem. Thirdly, the world underestimates and or doesn't even recognize the power that women have to change the world. And in turn, I feel like as women, we've lost sight of the power that we have. Women are change makers. Women are strong. Sometimes we don't even know our strength until it's challenged, until we have to step up to the plate. We have so much power to do good in the world, but we often don't recognize our value or our power. Thirdly, the culture of loneliness. We are more connected than ever because of social media, but we have never been so alone. How is it that you can have hundreds of friends on Facebook and not have a single friend that you can call in a moment of trouble? We've all been there. We all have moments like that even in our daily lives today. My heart breaks for the young women who are growing up in this culture, the teenagers, the middle schoolers who have to grow up in this culture where, you know, people are looking at your Facebook page and they're counting their likes versus actual relationships. We look around and we see growing numbers of suicide, depression, anxiety, the opioid crisis. We've never been more connected, yet more alone. And then just women in general, instead of women coming together and supporting one another, we cut one another down. We're competitive. We need to stop it. We need to raise women up. We need to see our own individual value, and we need to see the value of other women. We need to zero in on women and say, I see you. When we see a woman doing something good or something that we admire, or something that inspires us, we need to say, I see you. All anyone wants to do is be seen, to be heard, and to be loved. Let's create a culture that raises women up and values their life and their words and their actions. And that's what we want to do here on the show. We need to help women see their own individual value and the power that they possess to change the world, and then encourage those women to support the other women around them. This kind of ripple effect is possible, and that is what the One Girl Revolution is all about. So on the show, we're going to counter the politicization of women, counter the victimization of women. Granted, sometimes those things come in to women's stories and even you know, being a victim of something can be a huge part or a changing point in a woman's life. And we don't want to discard that. Those are important things, but we don't want to define women by their victimhood, by something that happened to them. We're also not going to be talking about necessarily defining women by their jobs even, because women are more than that. We're fascinating beings. Women have so many stories to tell and so many reasons why they are who they are. So we want to dig into that, dig into women's hearts. We want to tell powerful and poignant stories of women's lives, their hopes, their dreams, their struggles, their successes. The whole idea is empowered women empower women. So if we can tell powerful stories of other women, our hope here is that it will inspire you. And men, I'm talking to you too. I know it's mostly about women, but everyone has the power to change the world. And no action is too small and no action is too big. Through this show, we want to build an engaged group of principled, courageous, confident women. We want to lead women to see their value, gifts, and talents, to have courage, to believe in themselves and love themselves for who they are. Confidence and courage is contagious. So if we can get one woman to see her value and to see her worth, it will have a ripple effect. We want to promote authentic relationships and support among women to build women up instead of tearing one another down. I have so many stories lined up of women who are looking for opportunities in their daily life to raise up other women around them, who have created opportunities or platforms for themselves, but they're using those platforms to raise other women alongside them, which I love. We're also going to encourage women to rise above the world's standards and limitations and underestimations of their power. Every woman has the power to change the world, and if you truly believe this, you will be unstoppable, and you will change the world for good. For this show, I have all kinds of cool ideas, some guests booked, others we're working on booking, and some surprises along the way, but we still want to hear your ideas, so drop us a message on Facebook. Again, it's at the number one girl Rev, R-E-V, or message me on Twitter at Kate M. Bryan, B-R-Y-A-N. This is your show, so we want to hear from you. To give you a little insight on what is to come, some of the guests and stories we're going to highlight over coming weeks are, we have Candace Simons of J'adore Detroit and owner of Brooklyn Outdoor Advertising. If you haven't found J'adore Detroit on Instagram, you need to follow it. You will not be disappointed. Candace has all kinds of really interesting things she's involved in, and I just want to get to know her. And my plan is that she's going to tell us, you know, what she loves about Detroit, and we'll probably just geek out about how much we love Detroit for the first hour, that whole hour. We're also going to be talking about mental health with a great therapist I know, a woman who is changing the world through her life and her work. We're going to be talking about breast cancer because it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month with a really incredible woman that I know who fought breast cancer recently and used social media to open up some great discussions and support for women. I love a group called Sister Friends in Detroit, which is a group all over the country, but I want to have the group from Detroit in. It's a volunteer network of women who are supporting new moms and combating high infant mortality rates by befriending and being a friend to new moms. I love this organization. If you haven't heard of them, check them out, but we'll be talking about them more on the show. I've also got Diana Mao, entrepreneur and co-founder of the Nomi Project, who Diana, she witnessed human trafficking firsthand in Cambodia, and helped found the Nomi Project to create economic opportunities for survivors of human trafficking and women at risk in Cambodia and India. So as you can see, it's a wide variety of guests we have lined up. We're working on lining up some other ones. If you have ideas, shoot them our way. And please join us every Wednesday at 4 p.m. So as you can guess by now, or as you know by now, the whole premise of this show is to highlight inspiring women's stories, everyday women who are doing incredible things. And again, it's not necessarily the big things. Sometimes it's little things, and it's a way for us to say, I see you. I want everyone listening to this podcast to leave inspired and empowered. I want everyone who's listening to look for women in your daily life and tell them, I see you, or thank you, or you are an inspiration. We don't do that enough. We don't affirm women in our daily lives enough. And that's something that I've recently recognized in my own life. So I'm trying to do more of that. And this show is just one way, but I hope that I can find ways. I plan to find ways in my daily life to say to these women, I see you. And I want you to look for those opportunities in your daily life too, to affirm those women, but also to find opportunities in your daily life to be a light in this dark world. Look for opportunities to change someone's day, someone's world, someone's life. There are so many stories out there about how one simple interaction changed someone's day or even changed the course of their life. There's a show that's, I think it's in its third season on NBC called This Is Us. And if you haven't seen it, it's a great show. I encourage you to watch it. It's a great show about the reality of family and life, the beauty, the struggles, the honest reality of life itself. But the show mainly focuses on these little moments, these little interactions in life and how it can change the course of our lives forever. So I love that show. Check it out if you haven't seen it. But that's kind of one of the things that we want to talk about here. You know, what are little moments or little opportunities that people took, that women took, and they changed the course of someone's life or changed the world just in the little moments? What we do in the little things, we do in the big things, as the saying goes. In this crazy busy world we're living in, we're drinking through a fire hose. We're constantly on our phones and on social media, but we often fail to recognize the things happening around us and the people that are around us. Stop and smell the roses. Recognize the people and the things that are around you. A few years ago, there was a video that kind of went viral called Look Up. And I'm going to post the video later on today on our Facebook page, and I'll post it on Twitter as well. It's up to 61 million views. So it's a video called Look Up, and it's a beat poetry video. But the whole premise of the video was that we're often so busy looking at our phone that we miss out on very important interactions, or we miss out just on life because we're so busy looking at our phones. And you'll see in the video, but it's about this guy that is looking for directions on his phone. It kind of shows two different ways that his life could go. One, it starts out he's looking at directions on his phone, and then it switches where he is looking at a map and asks a pretty girl for directions. And on the one path, he totally misses so many things in life. And on the path where he has the map and he asks the pretty girl for directions, he ends up marrying her and his life takes a totally different path. So I love those kind of things because life presents us with so many opportunities like that. But if we miss them, we miss them. So with this show, you're going to be challenged. You're going to learn from some of the most incredible people I can find. And most of all, you're going to be inspired. In this dark, crazy world that we live in, we need more light, beauty, joy, inspiration. And that's what I hope that One Girl Revolution can be. You have the power to change the world through your life. Every woman is a One Girl Revolution. So arise. While this podcast isn't about me, I really wanted to create this platform, and I really wanted to create this platform to raise up other women's stories. I think it's interesting that this first show, it's kind of mainly me in the studio here talking about my life. But I think it's a great opportunity for me to introduce the show, introduce One Girl Revolution, and introduce myself. You'll get to know me throughout the show as we have different people on, and I'm sure other things will come out through the show. But I thought that this would be a good opportunity for me to kind of fill you in a little bit about my life. You don't know me and I don't know you, but hopefully you'll get to know me more, and I hope to get to know you. So please, 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 you know, keep in touch and let me know what your feedback is. And even the people that are listening to this show who know me, some know me very well. They don't know the details or depth of my life story. So I thought I'd use this opportunity to tell my story. That way you could get to know me a little bit and we'll get my story out of the way so we can focus on some other women's stories and go from there. And I think that my life story, there's a lot to it. So I'm going to kind of keep it brief as I can. But I think that my life story adds a little more color or depth or glitter, if you want to go that way, to the One Girl Revolution, and will help you understand a little bit more about my heart and a little bit more about where I'm coming from. My story starts in August 1984. I came barreling into the world as a petite 10-pound, 14-ounce child. Yes, I know, my poor mother. I was 10 pounds, 14 ounces. I was one of a twin, but my twin miscarried somewhere along the way. There's kind of a running joke in my family. It's crude, so I'll warn you, that I ate my twin, which is why I was so large. Crude, I know, but we still laugh about it from time to time. In my baby pictures, I resembled Jabba the Hutt. But thankfully, I got the height gene in my family, and I think I balanced out somewhere along the way. So as a baby, I suffered from terrible eczema. I always had a little red face in all my pictures. And that was before the days of food allergies and whole foods and all these different things that people have kind of come to terms with now. And doctors just assumed that I would grow out of it. It wasn't until I was 4 years old when my youngest sister, I'm one of four kids and more on them later, was diagnosed with something called Job syndrome. They tested me for it too, and sure enough, I had it, which explained my baby eczema and my food allergies. When my sister Delia and I were diagnosed with Job syndrome, there were only 25 documented cases in the entire U.S. It's called Job syndrome after Job in the Bible because it's believed that people with Job syndrome would suffer greatly, like Job, and would be hospitalized 8 to 10 times a year. You see, our bodies make more white blood cells than red, so our immune systems are greatly compromised. With Job syndrome, there was no cure, and even after all these years, there still isn't. Now the number of cases of Job syndrome is, I think it's just above 300 cases. So it's still rare and they still have no idea how to treat it. So when I was 4 years old, my youngest sister and I were diagnosed with Job syndrome. Around that same time, my dad suffered a terrible head injury. He fell and hit his head on a tile floor and had internal bleeding. They thought he wasn't going to make it, but thankfully he survived, but he's always had some remnants of that accident. My other sister was pretty normal. She's probably the most normal out of all of us, but she still had her own health issues along the way. And then my brother has Asperger's syndrome, a type of autism. He just graduated with his PhD from Penn State, so he's doing all right for himself. I still, to this day, when I reflect on everything that my family had to deal with, and again, like this all started when I was really young, I don't know how my parents kept it together, and they powered through really difficult moments. My parents aren't perfect, but they really are incredible. My parents themselves had to deal with a lot of trials and difficulties growing up, but they overcame them. And it's probably those difficulties that they dealt with growing up that gave them the strength to overcome our family's difficulties. And in turn, they were great examples to my siblings and I on how to overcome tremendous difficulty. My siblings and I owe pretty much everything we have and everything we are to them. My parents are hands down two of the strongest people I know. We overcame so much, each individually, but also as a family. But most people have no idea. We always put our game faces on to the world. We always, you know, we're this strong family unit out to the world, but we were really struggling with so many things. And I think if we hadn't put on that game face, we may have crumbled. And the same goes for me. I don't talk a lot about my life or difficulties that I face because I've just seen the things that I endured as a piece or a part of my story. My parents always taught us never to define ourselves by something that happened to us, but rather who we are. My struggles and trials never defined me, and they never will. And I truly believe that we all have difficulties in life, and it's what we do with those difficulties that show who we truly are. People are so desperate to put us in boxes in every possible way. And even as a kid, I remember thinking, I never want to be the quote-unquote little sick girl. I wanted to be little Kate, or Katie, as some people knew me back then. I wanted to be known for me, not my rash or, you know, anything that I had to struggle with. Now, while I had a lot of difficulties and struggles as a kid, I also had a lot of fun too. I was always determined, always scheming. I don't really know what I was determined to do or be, especially at a young age, but I was always thinking about something and or stirring up trouble somewhere. My parents used to joke when I was little that I was either going to be the CEO of a Fortune 500 company or the dictator of a small nation. So I always was making sure that my siblings were behaving, making sure that everyone got to and from school, all the good things. But at the same time, I was the ringleader for troublemaking in the Bryan household. When I was about 5 years old, I convinced my brother, who is a year older than I, that our couch would look better with polka dots. So I found my mom's paints and we got to work painting polka dots all over our lovely couch. My mom was obviously not happy about that. We destroyed my mom's makeup. We trailed honey with a honey jar through our entire house one day while my poor dad was sleeping. My mom obviously wasn't happy about that either. My parents will still say to this day that we were good little kids, and we were. But I guess I was always determined to be something, doing something good or bad. So I put my entire self into that. And looking back, it was probably that determination, again, good or bad, that saved me. That determination kept me focused. And you know, even as a little kid, I was always thinking about something. I suffered greatly as a child. I never slept because I would wake myself up itching from the eczema, and you couldn't really stop me from doing it because then I would get stressed out and it was just even worse. So I never slept as a child. I was obsessed with David Letterman, who I called the funny guy. I still love him to this day. So I'd ask my mom if I could watch the funny guy at whatever crazy hour I was awake at night. My eczema was terrible. It was all over my body, the bottoms of my feet. I would itch my hair out. And I still remember being 5 or 6 years old and people thinking that I was a little chemo patient because I didn't have much hair. My mom would have to bring me home from school and grade school every day to change my clothes because my skin would be so raw that it would stick to me. But even amidst this tremendous suffering, I was a pretty happy kid. We visited University of Michigan regularly for testing, and they were tracking this Job syndrome and trying to figure out how to treat it. And they still don't know. And we were in the same ward as little kids with cancer. We'd play and have fun with our little friends, but I will always remember a day that we were leaving University of Michigan, and I remember my mom saying how blessed we were. And even amidst all these struggles and even amidst the difficulties and pain that we suffered, we still got to leave the hospital. We weren't hooked up on tubes. We weren't living at University of Michigan, and it really puts things in perspective. You know, everybody has something that they have to suffer with. Everybody has something that they have to struggle with. But my mom really put things in perspective for us at that moment, that we were blessed. And thinking about it now, those were really formative moments. That moment sticks out in my head as a really formative moment. At school, I got to where I wouldn't talk in class. I didn't want to draw attention to myself, and kids were terribly mean. But who doesn't have stories of kids being terribly mean to them? I think it's just part of everybody's life struggle, unfortunately. I wouldn't get picked for teams because I had rash. I wouldn't get invited to birthday parties because I had rash. Kids were really cruel. So I stopped talking. But at the same time, there were kids that were so incredibly kind to me. Some of the deepest, most moving compassion I've ever experienced was from other kids when I was little. And to those people, thank you. I see you. I'll never forget you. And I think we all have moments in our lives like that, where it's the difficult moments and people being mean to us. And there are also beautiful people that show us love and compassion in those moments. So the way that I started talking in class again is my mom decided, she had this brilliant idea one day, that she was going to put me in Irish dancing in the second grade. And at the time, I was not having it at all. I was like, no, mama, please. I don't want to go. Don't make me go. And my mom finally talked me into doing it for 4 weeks. And she said if I hated it after 4 weeks, I could quit. So spoiler alert, I loved it. And for many years, I was Irish dancing, and it became my magic feather, kind of like Dumbo. It made me feel special and interesting. It was a unique talent to do at the talent shows at school. I'd get to wear my pretty Irish dance dress, and it was something that pulled me back out of my shell and really kind of pulled me back into the one girl revolution attitude that I could change the world. Lessons that I learned as a child have really carried me through so many things in my entire life. And I think all of us, we don't often sit down and think back about things that happened to us as a child. But when we do, we can see good and bad moments that really formed our life. Those are a part of our story, doesn't necessarily define who we are, But those are important parts. And for me, it was a bunch of things, but it was never define yourself by something that happened to you, by Job syndrome, by how I looked, my rash, anything. And now you can't see me in the studio, but my eczema is gone, so I look like a normal person. You can do another thing that I learned was you can do anything that you put your mind to. My parents taught me that. I think so many parents used to teach their kids that. I don't know that parents or teachers are teaching kids that as much anymore, but you can do anything that you put your mind to. You can, and that includes overcoming hardships and not letting them ransack your life. I also learned as a young kid that every person has the power to change the world. Sometimes it's in small ways, you know, sometimes it's not in those big ways. My parents always taught me and my siblings to be grateful for what we had and to be compassionate towards others, even if they weren't compassionate towards us. They would tell us, you never know what someone else is going through. And that's true. And I think about that sometimes now. Then hurt people hurt people. Usually when somebody is hurting you, they're hurt. Or they say something bad to you. It's a hurt person that says something like that. If they were confident and if they loved who they were, they wouldn't be saying things like that to you. And probably because we experienced our own suffering, it was easy to instill some of these lessons. It was in those early years of my life that I learned empathy and compassion, which have colored so many chapters of my life and color much of my life today. And it was in those early years, and even very often still today, that I would dig deep into my heart and soul and find that one girl revolution in me. I knew that I had something to give the world. I was determined. I knew that I could make a difference in the world. I knew that I could change somebody's life. Every woman's got it. She just needs to find it. Every woman is a one girl revolution. She just has to dig down and find it. It was in those early days that I first witnessed the power that one person can have to change the world. And I witnessed it so many times before my very eyes, how one interaction can change your day, or one interaction can turn your frown into a smile. I remember when I was probably 6 or 7 being at school and having terrible eczema, and one little girl touched my arm and compassionately asked regarding my eczema, "Does it hurt? Does it hurt, Katie?" Instead of blatantly not inviting me to a birthday party or to be on a team or ride bikes around the neighborhood, this little girl treated me with so much love. And it was in that moment, again, this is years and years ago, and I still remember that moment, how one moment can impact somebody's life, change their day. Or one time when I was at University of Michigan for testing, again, in the little cancer ward, and the basketball player, University of Michigan basketball player, Chris Webber, came to visit. I didn't know who he was. I was like 4 years old, but all the kids were freaking out. We were getting pictures with him. And I was like, "Mama, mama, look at how tall he is." I was floored. I loved it. And that was just a moment where none of us really, sorry, Chris Webber, if you ever listened to this, but none of us really knew who he was. We were little kids, but we loved that he came. And it was this moment where he said, "I see you and you matter." You know, this big basketball player that took time out of his day to come and see us. And I still remember, you know, I was 4 or something when that happened. We don't recognize the tremendous power that we hold in our daily interactions, on social media, in our lives. We have the power to brighten somebody's day, even change their life. Every person has this power. Which probably, you know, this kind of idea and this thought probably led me to make many of the choices that I made in my life. I've had so many incredible opportunities and experienced so many things that people just dream of, but it's not because I'm extraordinary. I'm actually just very ordinary. But I was willing to take chances and calculated risk. You know, sometimes risk, you don't want to just jump off and spend a ton of money to go do something, but if you can save up your money and be calculated about it, it's a calculated risk. And I knew that I wanted to make a difference in the world. And I believed that I could. I believed that I could make a difference. And with that belief, I think it happens. I believe that it happens. If you can dig down and find that in yourself, you will find opportunities to make that happen. So throughout grade school, middle school, and high school, I volunteered at every opportunity that I could find. I went on mission trips, packed food at Gleaner's Food Bank. I volunteered at St. Leo's Soup Kitchen here in Detroit. After high school, I had no idea what I wanted to be or what I wanted to do. So I did the only thing that I knew the only thing I could think of. I took a year off and volunteered at St. Leo's Soup Kitchen and some other local organizations and decided to give back. I had been blessed with so many things throughout my life, and it was my opportunity to give back. After that year, I went to a small college in Michigan and then transferred to Washtenaw Community College and then finally transferred to a small liberal arts school in Ohio. I continued my volunteer efforts in college. I had to pay for college on my own, and I think a lot of people thought that I was crazy for consistently volunteering instead of getting a full-time paying job, especially in the summers, but things always seemed to work out. I just would jump. I think I could write a book one day about how many times that I jumped and things just sort of worked out. But again, it was this calculated risk, and it was also this paying it forward. Giving of myself or giving of my talent and my times. And all of us have that. All of us have talents and things that we can give back to others. And for whatever reason, I always came out on top. It always worked out. So the real kicker came when I jumped at this opportunity to study abroad. People tried to talk me out of it. Everyone thought I was crazy because I had no money, but I just felt like I needed to go. For me, life is just all about this calculated risk. I figured it out. I took out some student loans and I knew I would be okay. And it worked out. I studied abroad, and this was the first time that I went to Ireland. And this really ended up being a life-changing experience for me. You know, one risk that I took ended up really impacting the rest of my life. Because after undergraduate, a couple years, and I moved back to Michigan. After undergraduate, I moved back to Michigan. And then a couple years later, I had this great opportunity to go to Ireland and do a master's degree in public affairs and in PR. So I, you know, had paid off my student loans and loved Ireland and wanted to go. And I applied and got accepted to this public affairs program. And within 3 weeks, I had quit my job, sold my car, took out a student loan, and moved to Ireland. Again, so many people thought I was crazy, but I was so convicted, and I just knew that it was what I was supposed to be doing and where I was supposed to be. I ended up living and working and studying in Ireland for 2.5 years, and then I got the itch to come back to the States. I do love America, which you'll probably hear more of on the show. And this time I had my sights set on Washington, D.C. I was always fascinated by the political world and wanted to try my hand at it. I had so many great opportunities in D.C. and got to work with and meet so many incredible people. I have great friends there. But a couple of months ago, I decided that my time was done and I wanted to move back to Michigan. Again, so many people didn't understand how I could leave such a vibrant city and a job that I really enjoyed and a team that I loved. But again, it was time. It was time for me to jump. It was a one-girl revolution moment. You know, it was a moment where I had to dig down into my heart and say, what am I really supposed to be doing at this moment in time? So I moved back to Detroit and haven't really looked back since. I miss my friends in Ireland. I miss my friends in DC, but I'm so excited about the future. And I know that Detroit is going to be a huge part of it. I love the city. I love the people here. My family's here. I was born and raised here. I love it. All the experience that I've experienced in my life have led me to this moment. And I think the difficulties that I have faced have led me to not sweat the small stuff. You know, it's really when I look at these experiences I've had, especially over the past couple of years, to understand it took these experiences for me to understand the vision of the platform of One Girl Revolution. I'm tired of women being politicized. I'm tired of women being taught to define themselves by their victimhood, by something that happened to them instead of who they are. I want women to see their value. I want women to see the power that they have to change the world. It's a daily struggle. I'm going to be totally honest with you. I am not perfect, but like everyone else, I'm a work in progress and I'm striving. And that's what I think we're all supposed to be doing. But we have to see ourselves as a one girl revolution. We have to see other women as one girl revolution. We have to see the power that other women have. And again, men who are listening to this, you have the power to change the world too. I know this is kind of about the girls right now, the ladies, but it goes out to you too, men. You need to be looking for opportunities. Look for opportunities in your life to affirm the women in your life. It's so rare that we hear from men affirmation. We need to hear it. So affirm the women in your life, but also look for those opportunities, men out there. Look for opportunities in your life to be the change that you want to see. A friend recently asked me, a dear friend actually recently asked me where I got my courage from. Now, I don't particularly see myself as a courageous person. Some of my life has just been sort of flailing along where I just jump at opportunities and I hope that it all works out. And I mean, calculated risk. But I think sometimes with courage for me and looking back at my life, courage to me is a choice. And, you know, I shared some of the things about my upbringing with you. And there were so many times where I had to choose to be courageous. I had to choose to stand up. I had to choose to try Irish dancing. I had to choose to go to study abroad. You know, I had these opportunities that were presented in front of me. And yeah, to the outside person, it may look as like a courageous thing, but I've always just strived to be a woman of principle. And There's a confidence that comes with knowing what you believe and why you believe it. So I told this friend, I was like, oftentimes courage is a choice. Like so many things in our life, we are given the opportunity to choose. It's not always easy to stand up against injustice or to stand up for what's right. It takes courage. Now with social media, people can say anything that they want to you. So if you take a stand on something or you voice your concern or your thoughts about something or even share something that you're doing that's just non-political, that's good in the world, people will attack you for it. I'm tired of it. But we have to choose courage. And I hope that that's what this show brings you, that it brings you courage and or helps you choose to be courageous in your daily life. You are loved. You have purpose. You are a one-girl revolution. So let's blow past all of this politicization of women, the victimization of women, the underestimations of the world, this culture of loneliness. Let's build a culture that loves women, that women teaches women to love who they are and to love the women around them. You are loved. You have purpose. You are a one-girl revolution. And you, my friend, have the power to change the world. And I see you. So again, to give you a little synopsis of the show, this show, One Girl Revolution, is built on the belief and understanding that every woman has a story, every woman has a voice, every woman has the power to change the world through her life, and every woman is a One Girl Revolution. Now, sometimes we don't know how strong we are until it's tested. So I hope that you're probably going to hear some of those stories from women who don't realize how strong they are until they were actually tested. And sometimes that's all of our lives and our journeys. So I'm going to share, you know, some more stories for you as things kind of come out in the next couple of weeks. You'll hear from women who have had to choose courage, who have had to find opportunities in their life to make a difference, who are making incredible strides in the world and really changing and transforming what the world looks like just by their simple actions. So this morning I sat down to kind of think of some examples of women in my life, my daily life, who inspire me. And I encourage you to do the same. You will find such incredible inspiration in your own daily life. We don't often stop to think about it, but I'm trying to make more of an effort to see the people around me, and I hope I get to tell them, and I will work to tell them I see you, and I hope you do the same. So some recent examples that I came up with in my own life are numerous friends who are currently taking care of a sick parent or a sick spouse, friends who are teachers. They never get a break. I was talking to a teacher friend of mine the other night, and she was talking about even in summer break, she's preparing for lessons, and even in the evenings, she's grading papers. Teachers don't get enough support and enough affirmation. So, they're raising and forming young minds, raising future generations, and we need to affirm teachers more. A dear friend of mine who just welcomed her fifth baby who has Down syndrome. Shout out to all the families with extra chromosome babies and an extra chromosome and extra loved. And I should mention it's Down syndrome month, so show your support for that. But this dear friend is a real inspiration to me. a girl who donated to a stranger's GoFundMe. We're hearing stories of that all the time, where people just find a GoFundMe and they're moved by the story or some helping somebody in need on social media, and they don't often get affirmation or see that they're not seen often, but I see you. Then a friend posted a little thing about 4-year-old little Emma, his daughter, was asked by her dad if she wanted to donate some change from her piggy bank to help people in Detroit who don't have any food. And little 4-year-old Emma said, "I want to give it all," and joyfully donated every penny from her piggy bank, totaling $15.36 to PB&J Outreach in Detroit this past Saturday. What a beautiful witness that this little girl, this little 4-year-old did. But that's where it starts, folks. That's where it starts. It starts from a young age, teaching young girls to do good. Last week, my dad actually had a pacemaker put in. He's a Navy vet, so tough as nails. We figured he would be okay, but we were still worried about him. I was traveling last week, so my mom was left on her own holding my dad together and keeping the family together. So on my 4-hour drive back to Michigan from Ohio, I kept reflecting on how strong my mom was. I was reflecting on so many things throughout our life and how strong she was. She really is the strongest woman that I know. And when I got home, I said, "Mama, you're so strong." She teared up because she knew it was true. She is tough as nails. But it's so rare that we recognize it. It's so rare that we mention it. It's so rare that we say to women, "I see you." So look for women in your life. Look for women in your daily life and tell them, "I see you." Tell women you see that they're doing good things and work to be an example of the good that we can be in the world. You know, I look at celebrities. There's so much going on in pop culture, so many good things as much as there's terrible things. Cardi B recently received an award, and she took her newborn baby up on stage. I think she's 25 years old. And she said, "I'm so happy to receive this award. A couple months ago, a lot of people were saying, 'You're gambling on your career. You're about to have a baby. What are you doing?'" And as you know, she carried the baby and she brought the baby and she said, "Look at me. I'm still winning awards at this award show." So even moments like that, women can have it all. And I want to share that on this show. I want to show women who are, you know, have a lot of different things going on in their life. You know, we're not just, this generation is so different than generations before, where you had the same job for 40 or 50 years. You know, we have a lot of women that have entrepreneurial spirits that are doing a lot of cool things, that are volunteering of their time while also running businesses. And so there's going to be some women like that on the show. I don't know if anybody's seen Crazy Rich Asians, but that's another one. Great girl power message. If you haven't seen it, check it out. But this is the first all Asian cast since Joy Luck Club 25 years ago, and which is crazy, particularly because 60% of the world's population is Asian. So Hollywood took a chance on Crazy Rich Asians and the film broke records. And what was most awesome to me is it was an incredible female cast and this great girl power message. Tori Kelly, American Idol, Simon Cowell told her when she tried out for American Idol that she wasn't good enough. And now she's one of the most successful artists to come off the show. Sadie Robinson, she has this cool project called Live Original. If you don't know who she is, she's one of the daughters of the Duck Dynasty. And she's encouraging women to see their value and see their worth. So there's opportunities in our daily life to see these women. There's opportunities in pop culture. So look out for them. There's so much good going on in the world. And women really are changing the world one day at a time. So again, One Girl Revolution. Every woman has a story. Every woman has a voice. Every woman has the power to change the world through her life. Every woman is a one-girl revolution. I'm so excited to share the show with you again. Check us out every Wednesday at 4 p.m. We'll be broadcasting live out of the studios here, the Podcast Detroit studios in Royal Oak, Michigan. You can follow us on Facebook at One Girl Rev, the number One Girl R-E-V. You can find me on Facebook. Facebook and Twitter. Twitter, it's Kate M. Bryan. So please send me all your comments, your thoughts, ideas, guest and story ideas, topics you want us to cover. Like I said, there's going to be a lot of stuff. We're talking about mental health next week. We're talking about breast cancer for breast cancer awareness. We have, you know, a Detroit show. We've got a lot of cool, a variety of different guests and different stories. But if you have ideas for guests and or just stories we should highlight on this show, send them my way. Send them my way via Twitter or send us on Facebook. Follow us on, like us on Facebook, One Girl Rev. I will post the link to this show once it's up on that, and I'll post some notes from the show. I know I talked about a couple of different things, a couple of different videos and things that I want to point your way. So I'll post those on the Facebook page. So like the page so you can check those out. But I think that's going to be it for us today with One Girl Revolution. Thanks so much for joining us for the first episode of One Girl Revolution, and we'll look forward to seeing you next week.